Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Video Store Podcast. My name is Nick, and I like movies. Thank you again for joining us as we visit the local video store in Northeast Pennsylvania, aka my entertainment room, where we select a movie from the collection, watch it, and then talk about it. On certain occasions, I will be joined by a guest, a fellow movie fan who may or may have not seen the movie before. From there, we will give our review about the movie, what we liked and what we didn't like, and we'll give a little information about the film, its stars and director, and other fun facts. This podcast will release an episode every month or so with a new film to discuss. With our reviews and thoughts on the film, we hope that they will entice you to watch the movie for yourself and you can form your own opinion about the movie from there. Hello, everyone. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, everyone. Christmas is right around the corner. In actuality, this is supposed to be a Thanksgiving episode, but life happens, and I was not able to do it. So you get two podcasts this month. We're going to be talking about two different movies, and this is going to be our Thanksgiving slash early winter film. Now, we're perusing through the video store, looking to see what is out and available. I'm looking for something a little lighthearted, a little fun. Go to the comedy section, and oh my goodness, one of my all-time favorite movies. Now, this movie can be watched either at Thanksgiving or around the Christmas time. And of course, we're talking about the amazing film Planes, Trains, and Automobiles from 1987, starring Steve Martin and John Candy. Such an iconic and great film to talk about and watch. Like I said, this film could be either watched during Thanksgiving or during the Christmas season, depending on which way you do it. In my house, we always watch it around Thanksgiving, which leads into our Christmas movie marathon. And this film, everybody, is a perfect choice in my opinion. With a total runtime of a little over an hour and a half, you're looking at about an hour and 33. Great film, not too long, but not too short as well. It's directed by John Hughes, it's also written by John Hughes. And the film itself is such a memorable film. And I actually found an old videotape of one of the first Christmases that I had. My mother actually got a copy of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles as a gift from somebody on VHS. And that was my actual first exposure to hearing about the title of the movie. And then from there, I watched the actual VHS, the one that my mother got for Christmas those years ago. And ever since then, I've fallen in love with it. And now I have it on Blu-ray. So yeah, it has come full circle. Such a great, great film. The plot of the movie itself, you have Steve Martin's character, who is a advertising executive at a major company in New York City. He's trying to get home for Thanksgiving, but a lot of issues happen with his transportation, and he runs into John Candy's character, and together they try to get back to Chicago, and all these insane hijinks ensue, and it's similar to a buddy cop film, but obviously they're not cops. But it's a lot of fun, nonetheless, on the journey from New York to Chicago. Now, like I said, it's only an hour and a half, a little hour and a half long. So definitely you can watch it in a single sitting. It is rated R. So keep that in mind for the little ones out there. It is rated R. Now, it's funny because when I was doing a little bit of research on this movie, the reason why it's rated R and the reason why a lot of films get that R rating, it's not because of like the gratuitous sex or the violence or this or that. It's for the language. Now, this movie, they drop a couple F bombs. When I say a couple, looking around the number of 20 or so F bombs in a single scene. And that scene itself is hilarious. It's Steve Martin is just hilarious in that scene. It's just, it brings the whole thing together. It's like a work of excellence. That is the only reason why it is rated R. I believe the coding for the way movies get the ratings, I think for an R rating, you have to have, I think like at least the F-bomb has to be said at least twice. I might be wrong on that, but I think it's twice. It has to be said in the film in order for it to receive an R rating. Now, here's the little backstory. Here's the little information about the plot itself. And then we'll talk about how we felt about it, and then we'll go from there. So like I said, Steve Martin, he is trying to get home for Thanksgiving, but he's trying to catch the flight out of New York. But a lot of traffic. It's the holiday season. Everyone's trying to get home. He tries to get a cab, and this is one of the first cameos that I remember seeing. It's a cameo with Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon's in this movie also, and his character name, it's funny the way they name him in here. He's known as Taxi Racer. Now, basically, him and Steve Martin are trying to get the same taxi, and they're on opposite sides of the street, and they're running down the street trying to outrace each other to get there. Somebody's luggage might come in the way, or it might be a construction worker blocking them. So it's a pretty awesome chase scene right there. And then towards the end of the race, you see Steve Martin crossing the street towards the cab, and you're like, okay, he's gonna get it. But then he trips over something and he lands in the middle of the street, and Kevin Bacon gets in the cab and gets away. Steve Martin turns around to see it is a giant piece of luggage, one of those old-fashioned, like, wooden, almost wooden type of luggage pieces, and it has like different stickers and stuff from different places you've traveled, this and that. So he sees that and he's like, that's the reason why. Later on, he finally gets to the cab, but then he tries somebody else is trying to get the cab as well. He tries to pay the guy for the cab, and then John Candy's character Del Griffith comes in, and he still gets in the cab, and the cab starts to drive away. And you find out that John Candy's character is the one with the suitcase that Steve Martin tripped over. So they're going. Steve Martin catches up to the cab and opens the door to try to pull Candy out, but then the cab drives away. He finally gets to the airport, run to his gate, comes to find out that his flight is delayed. His family is back at home. It's his wife and his three kids, two boys and a little girl. And they're trying to figure out, talking about when their grandparents are coming over. And then Steve Martin calls his wife saying there's a delay. From there, Neil, which is Steve Martin's character, Neil Page, finally meets for the first time Del Griffith. And they talk about, you stole my cab. They apologize. Can I buy you a Slurpee? Steve Martin's more of that stuck up, uptight type of guy, whereas Del Griffith is just like that lovable, like next door neighbor, crazy uncle type of guy that you know and love. And then they butt heads throughout the entire thing. They get on the plane eventually. Steve Martin has been bumped from first class to business, and his seat is actually right next to Del Griffith. So he's in between Del Griffith and another passenger. And John Candy, to explain it doesn't know justice. You have to actually see this, the comedic stuff that goes on, the timing, all the action that goes on. He takes his socks off and he swings his socks around, and Steve Martin's trying to avoid getting hit by it. And then because of the snow, there's a snowstorm that's happening, they have to land in Wichita for some reason. I don't know why, but they have to land in Wichita. And they get out of Wichita, and at that time, I believe this is probably set in, I want to say, like the late 80s, early 90s, if anything. It's set in that time period. There's no internet. You can't book a room. There's no cell phones. You can't this and that. So once they land, Steve Martin calls his wife, letting him know that he's stuck in Wichita. And then he tries to call different hotels to find a room, but everything's booked because of the storm and the plane being canceled. Dell's like, well, I got a room. I know that he says he knows the owner of the hotel because he sells shower curtains, and that's Del Griffith's job. He's a shower curtain salesman, which is a very unique and seems to have died out type of profession. So Dell's like, yeah, you want? I can help you out. Pay cover the cab fare, and I'll make sure you get a room. And Steve Martin's like, sure, yeah. So they get in this cab, and the cab takes him to this. It's a motel. It's nothing fancy. It's in a rough part of the neighborhood. And once they check in, the hotel manager's like, well, you have the last room in the place. And they find out that they share a room. So they get into the room, they turn the lights on, they see it's one bed. It's not no twin beds. It's one bed. And it looks like probably a queen size. And if you know what John Candy looks like, he's a rather large man, so he'd probably take up most of the bed. And then you have Steve Martin, who's a little more on the slender side, but still. So they're looking at each other, and it's like that tension of like, I don't want to share a bed with this guy. I don't know the guy, this and that. Obviously, Steve Martin's more of a neat freak and a perfectionist, and John Candy's the sloppy, lovable oaf, and this whole entire sequence happens with taking a shower and leaving his clothes everywhere and using all the towels. And then one of the more, let's say, emotional, not emotional, but like one of the more heartfelt part of the movies is the little speech that Steve, that Del Griffith, that John Candy says to Steve Martin. You want to hurt me? Go ahead. It makes you feel any better. Yeah, I'm an easy target. I talk too much. I also listen too much. I could be a cold-hearted cynic like you, but I don't like to hurt people's feelings. Say what you want about me, but I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get. Now that whole, I paraphrase, but that entire speech there, it hits hard. Like, basically, he's like, people like me. I'm not going to change for anybody. And if you don't like me, then that's just too bad for yourself. They go to sleep. After that happens, somebody breaks into the room and takes all their cash. Next morning, it's the hilarious pillow scene. So Steve Martin and John Candy wake up. John Candy's spooning Steve Martin. And he's like, "Why'd you kiss my ear? Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand between two pillows?" Hilarious, hilarious stuff. You gotta see it to understand it. Go for breakfast, find out that they've been robbed. Then Dell's like, "We could take a train to get out of here." And he's like, the owner of the hotel, his son will drive them to the train station in Wichita, which is probably like a couple miles down the road, this and that. So the son picks him up. His name's Owen. He picks him up, and he's like, "A people train doesn't leave out of Wichita. It leaves out of Stubville because only in Wichita you can only get a cattle car, which, you know." So they have to go to Stubville, which is about like another 30 miles away, and the son picks him up in a pickup truck, and the front of the truck's filled with the son's family, which is his wife and his two kids. So they have to sit in the back, and they're freezing because like it's like 1 degrees outside, and by the time they get to the train station, they're frozen solid out in the back of the truck. Cut to the scene where they get on the train. Then they get on the train. Everything seems to be going well, but then all of a sudden, there's a kickback on the train, and the train breaks down. So the conductor tells Steve Martin, "Go down a mile or so to the highway, and there's a bus stop there." So then he's walking back, and he runs into Dell again, and he helps him with his big luggage to get to the bus station. And then Dell's like, "You ever traveled by bus before?" And he's like, "No." And he's like, "Well, your mood's not going to improve any bit." So they get on the bus, and I myself personally have never traveled by bus like a long distance. So basically, that bus is taking them from wherever they were in like Kansas to Louisiana. It's going to Louisiana for St. Louis, excuse me, St. Louis. And it's just Steve Martin's uncomfortable. He's all cramped. There's people smoking. It's dirty, this and that. He definitely doesn't fit in with like the locals in the area, where on the other hand, Del Griffith does. Now, in order to try to get some money to get out of St. Louis, what they had to do is Dell's selling his shower curtain rings, but he's sh selling them as earrings, and the women are buying them, this and that. They've made a couple $100, and that'll get them to the next destination. Once they sell enough, Steve Martin's like, "I'm holding you back. Let's part ways and just be done with it." So they both go their separate ways. Steve Martin gets to the airport, the next airport, and instead of I'm sorry, it's a rental car agency, and it's right by an airport, which I don't know why he didn't take a flight, but whatever. Maybe they were booked. So a bus drops him off at his car, at the parking lot where his car is supposed to be, so he could rent it. Gets there, finds out the car's gone. Somebody stole it. So he goes to try, he chases the bus down to try to get back on the bus to get back to the main building, but the bus is gone. So he has to walk across a highway and across a runway to get back to the car dealership from there. This is the scene where all the F-bombs get dropped, and it's hilarious. You should definitely check it out. Even if you don't watch the movie, just look it up on YouTube. I'm sure they have it on YouTube. From there, he goes outside of the station and he goes to the cab guy. He's like, I need a ride to Chicago. And then Steve Martin mouths off to the cab guy, and the cab guy punches him in the face, and he falls right in front of Del Griffith's car, which was about to run him over, but didn't. So from there, Steve Martin and John Candy are back together. They're driving now. This time they're driving. We did the plane, we did the train. Now we're in the automobile. Now they're driving, and then they switch. Originally, Steve Martin's driving, and Del's in the passenger seat, and he's fiddling around with a chair, trying to get it situated so it's comfortable. Then they switch halfway through the night, and Steve Martin's the passenger, and the chair's broken now. Then Steve Martin takes a nap, and one of my favorite songs, "Mess Around" by Ray Charles, comes on the radio, and Steve and John Candy's dancing along while he's driving. And then the next funny part is Del throws his lit cigarette out the window, but it bounces off and lands in the car in the back seat, and it's going to start a fire. So then this next scene where Del gets his hand stuck and he's not able to grab the steering wheel, that whole scene, it ends up where the car ends up on fire after there was a near fatal crash. So it ends up on fire, and they drive the burnt car to another motel to get a room for the night. So Steve Martin doesn't have the $45 he needs to rent the room, so he gives him $17 and a nice watch. Del doesn't have $17 and a nice watch. He has $3 and a Casio watch, and then that's not enough to cover the room fare. So John Candy's back in the car, sitting there in the snow, and Steve Martin's in the room, and that room has two twin beds for some reason. And then Steve Martin's like, how do I ever get mixed up with this guy? He invites Del in because he's at this point he's really fed up with Del, but he's also feeling kind of sorry for him. Next morning they leave. Cop pulls him over, says the car's not safe to be driven in because everything's melted. Speedometer's melted. Everything's melted from the fire. Then they get their car towed to the nearest town. From there, Del finds a truck driver, and the truck driver will drive them to Chicago. It's a dairy truck, I believe. And he's like, well, we got a ride. And then Steve Martin's like, good, at least they'll have heating in there. And then Del's like, well, one problem. The truck driver doesn't like people sitting up in front with him. So they have to sit inside the ice truck, the box truck with all the dairy products and ice cream. And a couple hours drive in the truck, finally get to Chicago. They hop on what's like a monorail or like a trolley system type of thing, like a train or like a subway. In Chicago, it takes Steve Martin gets on the train and he goes, leaving Del at the station. Then Del picks up his bag and walks back into the station. But then Steve Martin's like, something doesn't make sense. And he gets back on the train, go back to the station. And he finds Del still sitting there. And he's like, why are you still here? Why don't you go home to your wife? And John Candy's like, my wife's dead. She's been dead a couple of years now, for I think it was 5 years. So more or less, Del Griffith's homeless, and he's just been traveling around selling shower curtains because he has nothing to go home to. So then Steve Martin's like, all right, come home. Come share Thanksgiving with me and my family. So they get back on the train. They get to wherever the stop lets him off. They walk to his house. Another emotional scene. Door opens from his daughter. His parents are there. Her parents are there. His wife's upstairs crying. She comes down. Big warm scene. Big warm, soft, fuzzy scene. And then end of the film. Great movie. Again, if you've never seen it, I would highly recommend this movie. It's one of those hilarious films, but it also has those heartwarming moments as well. There was talk at one point of this movie being remade with Will Smith and Kevin Hart, which it never has happened. Knock on wood, it doesn't happen. Because this is one of those films. It's a John Hughes film, so 9 times out of 10, John Hughes makes great films. This is one of those films that shouldn't be touched. And even if they do remake it, how, and if it's set in like now time, the time of today, everything's just right there in the palm of your hands. Like everything's too convenient. Where back then, when this movie was set in the time period, it's a little harder to, get flights or hotels, this and that. So it gave it that extra challenge where nowadays it's like everything's a little more too convenient. But as of now, they're not making it, but who knows? Hollywood always likes to remake everything. So again, yeah, that again is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Again, another one of those great films of its time. Again, it's only 1 hour and 33 minutes. 1987. Now, I'm sure a lot of you traveled for Thanksgiving, and hopefully you had a pleasant time. There wasn't too much issues with travel at all, like both John Candy and Steve Martin had. Yeah, great film. Now, what candy would I have with this? I'd say let's go with feeling some kind of cookies, maybe some Teddy Grahams. Teddy Grahams are pretty. Sound pretty good right about now. So I'll grab those. I got the movie. Sit back and I'll watch it. Again, thank you everybody for joining me for this podcast. Again, sorry for the delay. You'll be getting another podcast coming out very right before Christmas. Maybe Christmas Eve, or I'm not sure yet, but you'll receive another review of another movie to put us into the right Christmas spirit. And then we'll see you in 2025. Yeah, 2025 with our next podcast after that, and then we'll see what 2025 brings us. And I hope that you enjoy this movie, folks. I hope you enjoyed these podcast episodes so far. Thank you for joining us. Again, my name is Nick. I do like movies, a lot of movies, and my collection has been growing since the last time we have all met. As of the recording of this podcast, you can find this movie on Paramount Plus and Pluto TV for free. Or if you want to rent or buy it, you could rent it off of Prime Video for about $4. Or you can find it on Amazon. Or even better, get yourself a physical copy, because physical copies are the best way to watch movies, because you don't have to worry about commercials or advertisements, or if the internet goes out, you don't have to worry about it. You can still watch a movie on VHS or DVD. Or if you have Laserdisc, that one works too. Thank you again for joining us. If there's a movie you'd like me to review, leave it in the comments. Yeah, and if I'm able to, and if I have it in my collection, I'll take a look at it and possibly leave a review. Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you all on the next episode. Take care, good night, and good luck, everybody.